This is the chapel tape for October 11th, 1961. Dr. A. L. Myberg from the Department of Pastoral Care at the Baptist Hospital is speaking.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. According to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Due to poor plane schedule out of Charleston, he was not able to get back from an engagement there in time for chapel today. We're happy to welcome in his stead Dr. Albert Myberg, who is the Associate Director of the Department of Pastoral Care in charge of research. Dr. Myberg is a graduate of Clemson College, a Ph.D. graduate of Southern Seminary, and has been for several years at the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. We welcome him to lead us in our worship, and then he will also meet Dr. Young's classes today.
Let us pray. O thou who dwellest in light unapproachable, and also with him that is of a contrite heart, look upon us, we beseech thee, with thy grace and favor in this day which thou hast made. Refresh us in our inward spirits as we wait before thee, that even though outwardly we may be perishing, we may be renewed in the inner man. O thou who in thy great mercy didst come to us and dwell among us, open our hearts to the claims of those who can know thee not, except we go to them in thy name. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, and grant us faith for the living which this day demands, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All that believed were together, wrote Luke about the early Christians, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. From its earliest days, the Christian fellowship has been marked by the impulse to share. Sometimes this has meant the sharing of things as simple as a loaf of bread or a cup of cold water. At other times, this sharing has been on the deepest levels of human experience, levels so deep that the meaning of them cannot be poured into words. Many people who have a genuine desire to minister to others nevertheless feel awkward and ill at ease when they are face to face with deep distress. They wonder what to say. They feel that they ought to do something, but what? What does it mean to share on the level of suffering? Undoubtedly, it means many things. May I suggest three? In the first place, it means sharing the pain. Identification with the one who suffers is the first step in sharing suffering. During the Nazi occupation of Denmark, an announcement was made soon after the occupation that all Jewish inhabitants must, on the next day, wear the yellow Star of David as a means of identifying them as Jews. And on the next day, when King Christian of Denmark made his daily ride through the streets of Copenhagen, he himself and a large host of his fellow citizens wore proudly the Star of David as a sign of defiance and as a sign of identification with their fellow citizens. Albert Schweitzer has said, "It seemed to me a matter of course that we should all take our share of the burden of pain which lies upon the world." Pain is not easy to share. There is a great difference in feeling for a person and feeling with them. In the presence of great suffering, all of us tend to quaver and to want to run, regardless of whether this pain is physical, emotional, or spiritual. Herein lies, as I see it, the tremendous import of what God did for us in Christ. He was not content to pity us. He came in person to be one with us. He was conceived. He was born. He suffered with us. It is often surprising to discover how much help some people gain from an honest attempt by another to share their pain. A hospital chaplain is often in a position to notice this. Don Beatty, who is chief of the VA Chaplaincy Service out of Washington, was with us recently and told an experience he had when he first went into chaplaincy service. He went around to the nurses' stations and said to the nurses, "I'm interested in the patients that are nursing problems. Let me know when you have a person that no one can get along with, that is obstreperous, that is cantankerous, that is giving you fits." And it was not long before one of the nurses called him and said to Chaplain Beatty, "I have one of your patients." He went in the room and said, "I'm Chaplain Beatty. I'm the chaplain here." There was a long silence. The person who was the patient kept on reading his newspaper. Don sat down in the chair and looked out the window for about 10 minutes. And then he said, "Ain't life hell?" Still silence. He got up and yawned and said, "Well, I'll look in on you tomorrow," and walked out. The next day he came in and he said, "I'm Chaplain Beatty. I'm the chaplain here," and sat down and looked out the window. The patient grunted, and after about 10 minutes of silence, he said, "Is it as bad today as it was yesterday?" The patient said, "You know, I didn't want to come here." And what began as a rather resentful and hostile climate gradually, under the warmth of his ability to see how it was with this person, became this resentment and hostility melted because the patient learned that there was someone who was willing to share his pain. Sharing in suffering means not only sharing the pain, but sharing oneself. If a person succeeds in sharing another's pain, he will usually gain an opportunity to share something of himself. The essence of self-sharing is the opening of ourselves to another. It may be some very meaningful personal experience which is called forth by the present crisis. It may be a cherished appreciation. It may be an act of sharing which often speaks more eloquently than words. The effort to share ourselves deeply with another meets with two major hindrances. The first of these is the tendency of most of us to feel that any dependence upon others is a sign of weakness. It is very difficult to share oneself with people who never let on that they have any needs. For example, two people who are extremely self-sufficient have a great difficulty in developing a marriage on a very deep level. If one or both of them persist in saying, "I don't need you," they are undercutting the basis which ought to exist for their relationship. Actually, each does need the other. This is what marriage is about. A second hindrance in sharing ourselves is the tendency of many of us to rush in too soon with reassurance, or too superficially with reassurance. A well-meaning person who is disturbed by despondency in a friend may say confidently, "Now, don't you worry about a thing. Your doctors will have you over this illness and back in your garden at home in no time." And if, as has happened, this person's doctor has told him that recovery may be impossible, then this intended comfort can sound awfully hollow. It can even compound the pain. But beyond sharing oneself and sharing the pain, sharing in suffering means sharing one's faith. Suffering, when it is prolonged, has a way of raveling out the fabric of the soul, so that the sufferer loses his spiritual stamina. He wants to believe in a God who is just, who is merciful, who is love, but the awful fact of pain clouds his vision until all that he knows is the pain. If there is a God, he may say, then why? Sometimes it is a great help to this person to lean on the faith of another. This is not to say that faith can be had by proxy. It is to say, though, that a devoted life has a tremendous potential when placed next to a person for whom the fires of faith have ebbed low. One of the recent illustrations of the power of such a contagious faith has been given to us by Paul Clifford in his recent book, The Pastoral Calling, in which he tells how, after World War I, a Scotsman came to a British pastor by the name of J.O. Hagar and asked to be baptized. The pastor, who did not know this man, was curious to discover the reason behind his request. And after some questioning, he learned that this man had been wounded during the war and that an army chaplain had visited him in the hospital. In spite of the fact that this had been 20 years before, this man had been unable to forget his introduction to Christ in this relationship. He explained to Pastor Hagar that only recently had he finally been able to learn that the chaplain's name who ministered to him was Sidney Morris, and that he was a Baptist. And now, he says, he made me know that Jesus Christ was real. And what is good enough for him is good enough for me. And that's why, although I'm a member of the Church of Scotland, I want you to baptize me. From a doctrinal point of view, this Scotsman may have had a questionable reason for wanting to be baptized. But the point is that in a time of suffering, he met one who was able successfully to share the pain, to share himself, and in so doing, to share a faith that gave new meaning to life. May grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ rest and abide upon you, both now and forevermore.